Good. So, a good chodesh to all. As I said, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is certainly an appropriate time to try to get together and to understand what this month is all about, what the month demands from us. We know when we do get together in Rosh Chodesh, it's not just to understand something new, intellectually deep, and new concepts, which is also good and appropriate for its time, but we try to have everyone work, and we're going to try to bring some ideas to the table tonight, b'siyata d'shmaya, that we can go away and hopefully change ourselves. And we should be demanding of ourselves, and therefore we should be ready for that. Nisan is the first of all months. Rishen hu lachem l'chodshei hashana. The Torah tells us this is the first month. Certainly the way we count the months, even though Rosh Hashanah is on Tishrei, and for many other nations, the new year is at a different month, a different time during the year. For us, Nisan is the first month. This is our first month. So if we want to focus on a particular month, certainly Nisan is a good one. And Nisan, of course, the climax of the month is the Yontif of Pesach, the Leil Seder in particular. And as Rapinkus points out, really any Yontif, one can go through a Yontif in one of two ways. And the comparison he gives is like two people who come to an airport. And one of them will say this person is a young child. A young child of 6 or 7 years old, and they're spending a good few hours in the airport and looking out the big windows and seeing planes take off and zoom down the runway and planes coming in for a landing, and they are thrilled and they're fascinated. A whole day they could sit there watching and taking pictures. Very exciting time they had. But they haven't gone anywhere. They stayed in the same place. They had a lot of excitement. They took a lot of pictures, but they remained in the same place. We would hope that someone who has a mature mind, who also goes to the airport and sees this magnificent sight of planes taking off and planes coming in, they would think to themselves, wow, these planes probably could take you to a different place. In a few hours, you can be transformed to a different place somewhere else. The mature adult will go buy a ticket and get on one of those planes and end up in a different place. And that's the way we could be going through a Yomtif and going through certainly the Yomtif of Pesach, which has the ability to transform a Jew. No less than it transformed the Yidden at the time when they left Mitzrayim. So we could be just tourists and observers coming to the airport and looking. It'll be a nice Chag. Very exciting, a lot of guests, a lot of preparation, a lot of cleaning, a lot of learning perhaps, but we can go through Yom Tov and then be the same. Or we could understand that the Yom Tov could uplift us, and the Yom Tov could take us to be somewhere else, and at the end of the Yom Tov, we will be somewhere else, we'll be different people. It's as if we went to a different place. Yes, physically we're still here, but we're not the same people. That's what the Yom Tov can do, and certainly the Yom Tov of Pesach. And particularly as the Baal HaGadah tells us, this Yom Tov really starts from Rosh Chodesh. There was even a possibility, they thought, that perhaps we should start the retelling of the Exodus on Rosh Chodesh itself. Let's start from Rosh Chodesh. So we see already that Rosh Chodesh is already an appropriate time to start preparing. To wait for the night of the Seder may be too difficult. But then again, if we use the next couple of weeks in all our preparations, but if we at least take out the time to think about and perhaps even implement some of the ideas that we discussed tonight, it'll have been worthwhile for sure. And even if we come to the Seder and we prepared ourselves in the next week or so and thought about the ideas and actually performed some of them and changed ourselves, and we come to the Seder and we're so exhausted we actually just fall asleep by the Seder, still it would have been worth it. As we say in the famous 15 stanza Dayenu, Had we had this and not that, Dayenu. Had we come to Har Sinai, Ilu Kervanu Lufnei Har Sinai, had Hashem brought us to Mount Sinai, V'lei Nosim Lo Nas HaTeira, and He actually would not have given us the Torah that He had in mind, Dayenu. And all the commentators ask, Dayenu, I mean, that's what the purpose was. That was the purpose of going out of Mitzrayim. Certainly the purpose to stand at the foot of Har Sinai was to receive the Torah. So what do you mean, Dayenu would have been enough? Because all of the preparation and the experience of getting ready for that moment, that itself would remain with Bnei Yisrael. So too, even if at the night of the Seder, we're too busy, either exhausted ourselves, or we're too busy taking care of children or grandchildren, or other things that are happening, and we don't use that moment to focus, but still we've had the preparation. But again, certainly the most opportune and powerful night of the year is the night of Pesach, the night of the Seder. It's not me.
Anything I've
This Chodesh, beginning with Rosh Chodesh, which the moon starts out as a very small sliver of light, but progresses and builds up to become that full moon at the climax of this month, which is the night of Pesach, really begins on Rosh Chodesh. Really begins in Rosh Chodesh, as the Medrash tells us. The Medrash says, "HaChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodashim." This month for you is Rosh Chodesh and the first of all the Chodashim. Says the Medrash like this: "Ashrei hagoy asher Hashem leikov." Fortunate is the nation that Hashem is their God. When Hashem decided to create a world, Hashem instituted into creation, and that's why the entire world moves and works and operates with a 12-month cycle. There are months and there are years. That's universal to all of creation, because Hashem set it into creation there should be months and years. And then when He chose a particular nation, Klal Yisrael, when He chose Yaakov and his children, Kava Baresh Chadashim, He also chose which Resh Chodesh will be Shel Geula. Which Chodesh, which month will be the month of redemption? Shaboy Nigalo Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, that on that month the Jews were freed from Mitzrayim, Uboy Asidin Ligoel. And so too that month will be the month of Geula. So certainly when we talk about Resh Chodesh, we're talking about a month of Geula. Geula is redemption. Redemption from personal slavery and bondage that we feel, and of course national slavery that we are still, that still Hacha and Hashata Avde was still, in a sense, with a lack of freedom. But that was the month, and that was the time when Klal Yisrael went Me'avdus L'Cheirus. We went from slavery to freedom. And therefore we relive that slavery to freedom. And we have to understand what is the connection between the going from slavery to freedom in the time of Mitzrayim and in the time that we are going through now. Because the experience in Mitzrayim, both the slavery and then the exodus going out of Mitzrayim, is supposed to, it will parallel, in our time too, will parallel the being in bondage and then going out to slavery. So going out from that slavery to freedom. So we have to understand, what was the freedom we were going out to? How did we accomplish that freedom? How did we get out of that bondage? How did we manage to get out of Mitzrayim and experience those miracles? And how will we merit to get out of this slavery and this galus, and also merit the miracles that are promised to us? So let us begin we're talking about matzah. Let's talk about matzah. Why do we eat matzah on the Seder night? Why do we eat matzah on the Seder night? So if we look in the Haggadah, we find something strange. And the Vilna Gaon says that if you look into the Haggadah, we find a contradiction. Find a contradiction to why we eat matzah on this night. At the start of the Seder, we say, Halach Ma'anya, an Aramaic passage, Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, the poor man's bread, the Acholava, son of Arad Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. And that's what we say, we make that proclamation. Certainly to indicate that the reason why we eat matzah on this night is because this is the same food, this is the same matzah that our forefathers ate throughout the 210 years in Mitzrayim. That's what it would indicate. Although there's no real proof to that. Nowhere in all of Torah, not in the written law and not in the oral law, nowhere does it say that the Jews ate matzah in Mitzrayim for the time that they were there. And yet it seems to say that the reason why we eat this matzah, this bread of affliction, is to remind us of the slavery that our forefathers experienced in Mitzrayim. But yet, we go further into the Haggadah. We come to the famous words of Rabbi Gamliel, that whoever does not say these three passages, Pesach, Matzah, Umara, has not fulfilled their obligation. We must say these three things. And Matzah Zu, the middle one is Matzah. Matzah Zu, this Matzah Shana Oichlan that we eat al Shum Ma. On account of what? Why do we eat this Matzah? And here, the Baal Haggadah, the author of the Haggadah, gives a totally different reason. Not because it was bread of affliction, not because it reminds us of slavery, but rather, al Shum Shalei Hispik Bitsekim Shalavay Seinu Lahachmitz. It's on account of reminding us of our going out to freedom. Because you know what happened? That the dough did not have time to rise, to turn into chametz, until the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came and revealed Himself to us, and He redeemed us, as the Pasuk says. So here we have a Pasuk in the Torah that says, the reason why we eat matzah is to commemorate the going out of Mitzrayim, to commemorate our freedom from Mitzrayim. Then it was done in such a haste, Hashem rushed us out so quickly that we didn't even have time to prepare the proper provisions. We didn't even have time to bake the bread that we would have taken as the staple of our meal. We didn't have time for that. And that's why, to remind us that we went out, we eat matzah on this night. And yet before we say, we eat matzah to remind us of the Lechem Oini, which also the Torah calls Lechem Oini, but there are different interpretations of that. As Rashi says, is Lechem Sha'in Allah Harbei Dvarim, that we say many things on this bread, but not necessarily that that was the bread that they ate in Mitzrayim. But nonetheless, what may be famous to many people, the Vilna Gaon says, we do have a tradition. Again, not written in Torah, not in the oral of the written law. We have a tradition, we have a Messiah, and that is, says the Vilna Gaon, that indeed, the food that they were fed in Mitzrayim as slaves was matzah. The Egyptians fed the slaves, the Jews, matzah. Probably one, because it's economical. You don't have to feed them as much. It's quicker to make. You don't have to wait till the dough rises. So that's what they made us. They had to feed their slaves. And that's indeed what they fed us. They fed us this matzah. So now let's understand the seemingly contradiction. Let's try to put it into the proper context. Could you imagine, after several generations of Yidden being in Mitzrayim, 210 years is many generations, most of the Jews being born in Mitzrayim were born into slavery. They knew nothing else. They were born as the working class. They were born as the slaves of Egypt. And that's all they knew. And what did they eat? They ate whatever the masters gave them. They ate matzah. They gave us matzah for breakfast. They gave us matzah for dinner. That's what we ate. So finally, now they're told that they're going to be on their own. Now they're told they will be going out at midnight. Hashem will strike all of the firstborn of Mitzrayim, and you will then be free to go. And at midnight, Hashem passed over all of the Jewish homes. And indeed, they started preparing. They started packing up all of their belongings, because they're going to live in Mitzrayim. And they knew where they're heading. They're heading to Har Sinai. So they pack up everything, and certainly all of the Jewish mothers packed up food. And they said, we're going to bake bread. Do we think we want this matzah anymore? We don't want this matzah anymore. We've had matzah for over 200 years. We don't want that. Perhaps they also ate bread in Mitzrayim as well. Maybe it wasn't strictly matzah, but certainly that was a large part of the diet. But now that they're free, now we want just the hard matzah. We don't want that. We managed to eat it for 8 days, and as soon as Pesach is over, let's go to the bagel shop. We have to eat. Imagine. 8 days we can't take without having our bagel or our roll. And here they went for 200 years. Matzah, matzah, matzah. We want it ready. We want chametz. We want challah. So all the women prepared their dough. They kneaded the dough. And they said, good, let it rise. Let it rise. Then we'll bake it. We'll have fresh challah coming straight out of the oven. And we'll be ready to leave Mitzrayim. As soon as the call comes, we'll be ready to leave. But lo and behold, while the dough is sitting there, all of a sudden the announcement comes. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody goes out now. Now is the time to leave. Now, yes, grab everything that you have. And go. We didn't finish preparing. No time to prepare. Chipazayin quickly. And we hurried out. As the Gemara tells us, we were hurried out of Mitzrayim. So if they just grabbed whatever they had, they took their dough, stuffed it in a sack, over the shoulder, took all the valises, and all the children, and they're off and running. They're off and running. They left at daybreak. The Gemara tells us they left at daybreak. Throughout the night they were preparing, and they probably figured they would have more time, so they waited for the dough to rise. There was no time for that, and they traveled out at daybreak. They left Mitzrayim. Probably 4 or 5 hours later, traveling with few million people going out of Mitzrayim, they probably said, okay, it's time for a rest. It's time for lunch. Everyone is in agreement. They sit down, put down all the suitcases. Time for lunch. Great. What's for lunch? I don't know. Let's go look. They take the sacks, bring it over, and take out matzah. Can you imagine what was going through their mind at that time? They're asking themselves, is this some kind of joke? Like, this is not like Binyamin leaving Mitzrayim and then the goblet is found. And they realized here, it was abundantly clear to them that Hashem had put them up to this. Hashem had made sure that they would not have enough time to bake their beautiful Jewish rye or their challah, 8 braids, 6 braids, 16 braids, and that's what they would eat for lunch. No. Lo and behold, they realized, Hashem rushed us out so quickly that the dough baked on our backs as we were walking, and we have this once again, this matzah. That's what we're going to eat. We're going to eat matzah once again. And they're saying to themselves, why would Hashem do this to us? Why would Hashem, this is our freedom. Why is a sign of freedom when Hashem say, we're going to give you matzah to eat? This is a sign of slavery, not of freedom. So let's give a mashal. Let's give an analogy, and perhaps this is the reason why Hashem did this. Imagine there's a fella, he's 18 years old, just finished high school, and he's dead broke. He has no money at all, cannot put himself through college. Wouldn't dare take out loans to put himself through college. So he's roaming around. Maybe he'll get a job somewhere. Needs to have some money in his pocket. So he looks and he sees this huge building, many stories high, on a huge property. And he walks in. Well, it looks like a big place. Maybe I'll get a job. He said, well, do you have any job for me? Well, you have any experience? Not really, but you know, I could work. I'm a strong guy. Well fit. All right. The person writes down a name here. Speak to this guy. He's on the third floor. Okay, great. Well, he goes in the elevator, goes to the third floor. He goes to the clerk, gives him this name. I was told to see this and this person on the third floor. No. Not the third floor up. Third floor down. Oh, third floor down. Okay, how do you get there? Well, you go down back to the lobby, and then there's one elevator to take you down one flight. The rest you have to walk by the stairs. Oh, okay, great. And he does that, takes the elevator down, two flights down, he walks, and he comes. It's already a little musty and dusty and sneezing a little bit. But he comes, and there's a huge warehouse there. Fine, comes to the clerk over there. Third floor down, I'm supposed to look for this person. Oh yeah, he's over there, go speak to him. I'm here looking for a job. A job, you got any experience? No, not really. All right, fine, here's what you got to do. You see those boxes over there? And he sees thousands and thousands of flat boxes. Says, here, you take this tape dispenser, you take the box, you put it down, put the flaps, tape the bottom of it, you flip it over, and then you put it on that conveyor belt. Put on that conveyor belt, it will be taken to a different warehouse, and that's where they do the packaging. So you think you can do that? No, I'll give it a try. Good. You need extra tape? That closet over there. Good. And that's what he does. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, finishes his 4 hour shift, collapses from exhaustion, has a little break for lunch, and goes on another 4 hour shift. And this is what he did. But he gets paid at the end of the day. He's very happy. Comes back the next day, the next week, and he's a very hard working fellow. And after a few months, they see he's really a good worker, and they say, you know what, we're going to promote you. And they promote him. No more of the dusty warehouse there making boxes. He's promoted. Now he already is overseeing the packaging in the other warehouse. But 6 months later, he's promoted. He's now the manager. He's ordering the stuff going into those boxes. And to make a long story short, many years later, he's now 20 years later, he's 38 years old, and he's the CEO of the company. He worked his way up, learned quickly, and now he's the CEO of the company. Wonderful. And now he has a family of his own, and he's making a lot of money now. And, of course, his children are growing up very differently than he is. And he's worried about that. You know, one day he's sitting in his plush office, and he says, you know, I started from the ground up. And even I feel sometimes I get a bit arrogant over here sitting in this fancy chair. And my children, for sure, they're growing up with all the luxuries they want. How am I going to teach my child that shouldn't? To teach him the value of a dollar, to teach him the value of working hard. How am I going to do that? Yeah, that's a question many people have. No good answers. But he decided he's going to try something. He'll try something. So one day he tells his son, listen, tomorrow morning we're getting up early, and don't put on your best clothing. And we have to 7 o'clock, we have to be at the factory. 7 o'clock in the morning, Dad? Yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning. And they go, 7 o'clock in the morning, they walk in, and he takes his son to a place that he's never been before. He takes him 3 flights down. He says, oh, this is what we're going to do today. What are we doing? We're making boxes. And that day, they spent the whole day making boxes. And they got dirty, and they got dusty. After 4 hour shift, they sat down and ate lunch with everybody else. And after a long day's work, exhausting, the father said, okay, we had this one day. I just want to remind you, this is where I started. I started over here, and I worked my way up. And you have to do that too. You're not going to have to work here all the time. You're obviously different than I am, but to understand where we started from, to understand where I came from. That's a beautiful lesson that the father tried to impart to his children. In a sense, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. Leave Mitzrayim, we're free as a bird. No, Hashem says, there are things you have to take away with you from Mitzrayim. And one of those things is, you have to remember. You remember you were a slave in Mitzrayim? You know what a slave ate in Mitzrayim? He ate matzah. Hashem says, when you go out of Mitzrayim, your sign of freedom will be that you'll eat matzah again. You don't always have to eat matzah, Hashem says. But you always have to eat, one day a year, you always have to eat matzah. You'll always have to remind yourself of your beginnings. Because Hashem says, I don't want you to throw away the fact that you were a slave. True, you're not slaves to Pari anymore. But as the Gemara tells us, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. The Avdei Hashem praise Hashem. Says the Gemara, not Avdei Pari anymore. We're free of being slaves from Pari. But yet we are still slaves. We are still servants. We're Avadim. We're Avdei Hashem now. And Hashem put us through an experience in Mitzrayim to realize, just go through that experience and know what a slave is. Know the mindset of a slave. The mindset of a slave is, they wake up in the morning and they say, what does my master want me to do? What is my master going to provide to me? What is my master going to feed me? That's the mindset of a slave. Hashem says, that mindset you have to remain with you forever. That I don't want you to forget. And therefore when we left Mitzrayim, and we were then embracing our freedom, Hashem says, keep this with you. When you went out, what did you eat? What did you eat? You ate matzah once again. Realize that your freedom is a freedom from being slaves to Pari, and you're going to be now free to work for yourselves. Working for yourselves means you're being avodim to Hashem. And a slave also, as a Jew, we wake up every morning and says, what does my master want from me? What is he going to provide to me? And this is, I will do his will. And he tells us his will in the Torah. This is what we have to do. If we go a little further into understanding what I would call the lessons from the matzah of slavery and the matzah of freedom, we see here what happened, that the matzah that they ate in Mitzrayim, who made it for them? The Egyptians made it for them. They were given to eat matzah. Certainly wasn't by choice. According to this tradition of the Vilna Gaon, it wasn't by choice that they ate matzah, but this is what they were provided with. This is what they had to eat. And the matzah was made in a systematic way, prepared, all the ingredients put in, baked, and then given to eat. But yet the matzah that they had when they went out of Mitzrayim was made in a totally different fashion. That was God made matzah. No one baked it except Hashem. That was matzah that they took on their shoulders and they walked out, and after a few hours, Hashem made matzah for them. And that too, I think, connotes another idea here. That's true, that the matzah that you had in Mitzrayim, that was matzah that people made for you. That was matzah of teva. That was matzah that we make it in the natural ways of the world. But the matzah that you had when you went out of Mitzrayim, true, it's the same matzah, but it's matzah that Hashem made for you. It's matzah that Hashem baked with His own Son. It was on your shoulder, and vayefu es habotzek asher yisim Mitzrayim. Who baked the matzah over there? Hashem baked the matzah. What does Hashem want us to learn from this? There are things that take a process to make. The matzah in Mitzrayim took the natural process how to make matzah. And that's what we had in Mitzrayim. And that represents teva. And then when we went out, that matzah was baked b'chipazin. That matzah was baked quickly. Because when Hashem wants to bring redemption for a person, when Hashem wants to bring redemption for Klal Yisrael, He can do it very quickly. If that's His will, it will happen very quickly. The Yeshua Hashem will happen keharifying like the blink of an eye. And Hashem showed us that. When Hashem rushed us out, you'll have no time to make this bread. I will make the bread for you. That's the matzah. So the matzah of slavery is the matzah of a process of teva. And the matzah of geula, the matzah of freedom, the matzah of redemption is a different sort of matzah. It's the same food, but it's the matzah that Hashem makes. Which really takes us one step deeper to that thought. Hashem wanted to show us that all the matzah we had in Mitzrayim, that it seems like it was all given from people, and it was made naturally. And the matzah that Hashem forced it to bake in the sun on our way out of Mitzrayim is the same matzah. Hashem says, you'll eat the same matzah they ate over there. That was done with a process. That seemingly was done by other people. And this matzah was done by me alone, Hashem says. Realize that the matzah is the same. You know who was making the matzah in Mitzrayim? I was making that matzah too. You know who was feeding you the matzah in Mitzrayim? I was making that matzah too. Who fed us the marah in Mitzrayim? Hashem says, that was me too. I gave you the marah to eat in Mitzrayim. I gave you the matzah to eat in Mitzrayim. And realize I'm the same one who gives you the matzah of Geula. So the matzah of slavery and the matzah of freedom is to show us that it's all one. It's all connected to the same source, which is also a powerful lesson that we try to impart, whether it's to our children or to ourselves, on the Pesach Seder. As the Rambam tells us, if one has a child, one tells over the story to the child. If one doesn't have a child, one tells over the story to themselves. Perhaps the Rambam means if one's child is not open to listening to them, but then one tells it over to themselves. But that we have to do. Every Jew that's there at the Pesach Seder has to imbue these lessons. And here the lesson is that the matzah of slavery is done by Hashem. And Hashem showed that because it's the same matzah that you had over there is the matzah of Geula, the matzah of redemption. And I could feed you matzah of redemption and I could make it myself quickly, or I could have you eat it in a derech hateva way in Mitzrayim. That's really Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem on the one hand, which certainly represents Rachamim and Geula, freedom, and Elokeinu, which is the Hashem of Maror, the Hashem of slavery perhaps, the Hashem of Din, is Hashem Echad. And for those who have thought about Emuna for a long time, could even understand this pshat. Could understand it's more than that. It's not just Hashem and Elokeinu is Echad. But when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Echad really means not only one source, but Echad also means the only one, the only thing. There's actually nothing that really exists in reality except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a profound thought. But if we think about it, we realize how true it is. There is no reality in the world. When we say Hashem Echad, Hashem is the only being in the world, that's literal. Hashem is the only being. He is the only reality. He causes us into existence and He causes everything that happens to us, He causes into existence. And every experience that we go through and everything that happens to us is only one being doing that. And that's Hashem, and that's Echad. So a second idea, I think we have the matzah of slavery, which represents the matzah of Teva, and the matzah of Geula, the matzah of freedom and redemption, which represents the matzah of Nes. And if we go to one final idea about the matzah of slavery and then the matzah of freedom. Which really takes us to a new aspect of what we have to learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim, but a crucial one to understanding the comparison between the going out of Mitzrayim and the going out of this Golus. Parshas Shemos, the Torah tells us that the Jews in Mitzrayim, working as slaves all of those years, back-breaking labor, cried out to Hashem. They cried out, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael. They called out, they cried out, whether they actually were saying something, or whether they were just moaning, whether they actually were saying words of tefillah, or just begging Hashem to take them out. But they davened to Hashem to take them out of Mitzrayim. And finally, Vatal Shavasam Elo Elohim min ha'avodah. That cry, that shava, that cry, that tefillah, finally made its way up to Hashem. It made its way up to Elohim min ha'avodah from all of that work. And Hashem heard them, and Hashem freed them. Listen to what one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bachya, listen to what he says in that pasuk. Ki af al pi shehigia haketz. Even though the time for redemption had come. That means in Hashem's calendar, in Hashem's time planner, the Geula was there already. The Gullus should have ended. Ki af al pi shehigia haketz. Even though the Kates had come, the end had come for this galus, but lehaya ruuyim legeula. Hashem says, but I can't redeem them. They have no merits. They don't have enough merits to redeem them. The time has come. I thought at this point they would have been already at a stage where they would have had their own merits to go out. But they were bereft of any mitzvahs. They were empty of any zechuyas, of any merits. Hashem says, I can't redeem them if they don't have any merits. Ela meirav shetzaku al Hashem in avodah. It's just because of the sheer tefillah, the abundant crying out to Hashem. Kabel tefillah, so Hashem accepted the tefillah. Number one, says Rabbeinu Bachya, Lalamdecha, this teaches, she'ein tefillah se shel adam shleima ka'oise mispalal miteich hatzara v'hadeichik. There is no greater tefillah than one who davens out of sheer desperation, one who davens when one is desperate. Shehi yoyse mekubeles v'hi ha'oila lafanav yisparach. This comes in front of Hashem, and this tefillah is answered. When it's out of the depths of one's heart, when it's out of the tzara, when it's out of the deichik, this tefillah is answered by Hashem. But then he says like this, Efshalaymar, ki haparsha hazois hi remez legulusenu zois haasida shehi tluya betshuva v'tfila ki chein begulas mitzrayim chazu betshuva v'spalalu al Hashem ha'ina beis tzara v'niskabla tfilasa mubolahem hagoyel miyad. And so will be in our days for us to bring our geula and for us to bring Mashiach. Says Rabbeinu Bachya the following, that really, B'nai Yisrael, the time had come to free B'nai Yisrael. The time had come for the Geula. But B'nai Yisrael were not worthy of it. They were so not worthy of it, that actually the Sfasemes tells us, this is why Hashem had to take us out B'yod Chazaka. We say in the Haggadah, V'yitzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim B'yod Chazaka, with a strong hand. Why does Hashem need a strong hand? Why is that mashal given? Why do we have a euphemism of Hashem with a strong hand? For Hashem to take us out, let him just take us out. Why did it require Kaviyachol for Hashem to use strength? What was the difficulty? Where was the hardship in Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim? So he quotes a Medrash that tells us like this, a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. A beautiful pasuk that we like quoting. Kishoshana ben hachoichim, kein rayasi ben habonis. Klal Yisrael is compared to the rose. Like the rose, kishoshana ben hachoichim, as the rose among thorns, so too is my beloved amongst the daughters. Wonderful, we're compared to a rose. That's a beautiful metaphor for Klal Yisrael. The only problem, says the Medrash, is that you know what a rose is surrounded by? By thorns. It's very hard to get to the rose. And this is the way that the Medrash depicts it. This is the understanding in the nimshal of this mashal of the rose among thorns. This is what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, Ma sheshana zu, just like this rose, kishin esuna bein achaychem, when is it in the midst of all of the thorns, kasha labala lehilakit. It's very hard for the owner of the thorn bush to pick that thorn. because it's surrounded by thorns and he can't get in. He can't stick his hand in. Kach gu'ulasan shei Yisrael ha'isakasha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sort of get himself in there to take us out from amongst the thorns. As it says, Oyhanisa lekim lover lekachas legoi mikerev goi. Did any God ever try to take one nation from the midst of another nation? A goi and a goi, one nation and another nation. We're not distinguishing between Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim over here. Why? Because Shehayu Elo Arelim, the Elam are Oilo Arelim. The Egyptians were uncircumcised, and there were Jews who were uncircumcised. Elu Megadlin Belurias Ve'elu Megadlin Belurias. They had the same hairstyles as the Egyptians. They had the same fashions as the Egyptians. They dressed like the Egyptians. Elu Leishim Klaim. Elu Leishim Klaim. Hashem says, I can't. It's too difficult to get through the crowd. Who should I pick? Who am I supposed to pick? Who is a Jew? Who is not a Jew? It was very hard for Hashem to see that. Perhaps even the Medrash means, of course we know there were Jews who were doing what the appropriate thing what they were supposed to do. And maybe they were the rose, and maybe the thorns were the other Jews who looked like the Egyptians. Hashem says, I'm trying to save those Jews, but I can't, because they're surrounded by other Jews who look like Egyptians. So it was difficult for Hashem. Im kein loy haysa midas hadin loy sene shi igalu Yisrael oilam. The midas hadin, the strict judgment in heaven said, you cannot redeem them forever. Hashem says, I already swore to them, I will, lochein emor levnei Yisrael, and therefore I have to use a yad chazaka. Therefore Hashem had to implore this yad chazaka, a strong hand to take us out of Mitzrayim. It's clear from the Medrash that certainly the Jews as a whole probably looked similar to the Jewish people today, where most of the of our millions of Jewish brethren look more like our non-Jewish counterparts. And for Hashem to come and say, oh, but look at all these wonderful Jews that are here. Let me redeem them. And the Midas Hadin says, no, you can't do that. Look how many Jews look like the Goyim. But yet Hashem's found a way to save them. Hashem found a way to save us, to redeem us. And how was that? The time for Geula came, the Kates came, says Rabbeinu Bachya. But Hashem says, but they have no merit to be saved. And the only way we were saved was Vatal Shavosam El Holikim and Avoida. Because our davening went up to the Shemayim. Why? Because it was a true tefillah. It was from the depths of our heart. It was out of desperation. We felt that we had enough of that gullus. And when we felt we had enough of that gullus, we felt we had enough of the hardships that we endured already in Mitzrayim, then we cried out and we pierced the heavens. And Hashem said, that tefillah I'll accept. Because a tefillah mitecha tzara mitecha deichik, out of desperation, Hashem cannot turn away. And Hashem answered us. And that's why we were freed from Mitzrayim. If we understand that this gullus is the same way, let us not miss up this opportunity. If the Medrash tells us that this is the Chodesh that Hashem had already programmed into creation, that decades of generations after the world was created, Hashem says, this will be the month that will be freed from Mitzrayim, the first of the gullius of the exiles, and so too will be with the last of the gullius. This gullus also, Nisan Asidan Li Goyal, this is the month we will be freed. We have a golden opportunity. Starting with Rosh Chodesh, we have an opportunity, we could daven. But it's only out of davening from sheer desperation. It's only if we feel desperate. If only if we really feel there is no way out, our backs are against the wall. Hashem has certainly given us the message. No question, Hashem has raised the level of anti-Semitism. Hashem has certainly given enough people to allow them to threaten us openly and unabashedly, open-heartedly, that and on any media. They're ready to say, we will destroy you. So Hashem is certainly announcing loud on the loudspeaker that you should feel desperate. You should daven in the way that they daven in Mitzrayim, Matal Shavasam Olavikim. Let me give the following mashal. I think this is a good mashal to understand this. Imagine there are many people in an airport. And many of the people at this particular gate are going on a flight together. And the plane is at the, what do you call that?
Terminal.
At the terminal. It's at the terminal. And the door is open. And all you have to go is walk down the jetway and get onto the plane and find your seat. And lo and behold, there's only a few people on the plane. It's 10 o'clock. Scheduled time for the plane to leave. The plane is there. And nobody's getting on the plane. And they're making announcements. All those from flight 1735, please board the plane. And nobody's boarding the plane. What a strange thing. Why is nobody boarding the plane? So we look around and we say, why are people not boarding the plane? Well, actually, this one is shopping right now because she found an item on sale in the drugstore. And this one was always waiting to take one of those massage machines that they have in the airport. And she didn't want, and she figures they'll wait for her. They probably won't leave without her. She has a boarding pass. And that's why she's over there. And this one's fooling around. And this one is eating because she wants to finish it. And they're making announcements. And the plane is ready to leave. And everybody's too busy doing something else. If Rabbeinu Bachya says that the plane is here, the Kates was here. They weren't waiting for that. Hashem is saying, we're not waiting for the airplane. The airplane is here. It's at the terminal. We're just waiting for the people to board the plane. And why are people not boarding the plane? Hashem says, because you don't have enough schusim to get on that plane. The only way you have enough schusim is if you daven out of desperation. If we daven for the gula. Hashem says, I want you to daven that you should get on that plane. But we're too busy doing something else. We're too busy, and we're shopping, we're doing good things. We're shopping for good things, for good reason. We're doing mitzvahs, we're busy with our friends, we're busy with our community. We're too busy to daven. So we're like the people running around in the airport, and they're making announcements, and Hashem's saying, I'm sending this evil person to give threats, to tell you to get on the plane already, and I'm making announcement after announcement, and nobody's listening. Hashem says, it's here already. I'm only waiting for you. And the only way you're going to do it is just like over there. As you went out of Eretz Mitzrayim, the only way you went out of Eretz Mitzrayim is through tefillah. Says the Mabit, says the Beis Elokim. We know that the miracles that will take place in the time of our final Geula, of our redemption from this Gaulus, will be more tremendous, more magnificent than the Nisan that happened in Mitzrayim. What's Kimeit Seischa? As we went out of Mitzrayim, so too you'll go out of this Gaulus, he says, in the way you got out. Just like you went out of there through tefillah, the only way you'll get out of this Gaulus is through tefillah. That's the only way we can get out.
And this is not in Torah, this is in that's in this particular, are there 400 other opinions that we're getting out?
About 400 other opinions, yeah. The truth is, it's in Torah also. The reason why we have all of the details of the entire period in Mitzrayim, both the slavery part of it, and only what's necessary, right? Only what's necessary is in there. And as the Ramban tells us, we're not going to go into it now, but as the Ramban tells us, the end of Parashas Bai, these are all the things we're supposed to learn out of Mitzrayim. Not just for a history lesson, but to carry us through the rest of the Golus. We're supposed to learn out, and to carry us through really to the next world. We're supposed to learn reward and punishment, and prophecy, and Hashgacha Pratis, divine intervention. This is all these things we're supposed to learn out from Mitzrayim. So whatever's in the Torah, that means this is eternal. This is what we're supposed to learn out. So if the Torah tells us this is the way they get out of Mitzrayim, like who cares? Or they got out of Mitzrayim. We just want to know for purposes of a history lesson. By the way, Mitzrayim, they got out for that. But for you, that's okay. You'll just pay money to the UJA and that's how you get out. That can't be. If the Torah tells us this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it was in Mitzrayim, then this is the way it's going to be now. And that's why the Torah tells us.
So just like it was the chronological time of redemption, so too you've told us that there's, you know, the possibility that it happens based on merit, and then our chronological time will end up again at 6,000, if God forbid we don't merit it before then. But what happens at 6,000 if the angel said, look, they're not doing anything, and no one's davening? We just sit here for another 6,000? What happens then? We just automatically, even if we're not davening, then we have to go.
They're davening
right now. Well, how many of us have to daven? 3%, 1%, 2%, 20%? You know, there's the majority of the Jewish nation isn't included at all. So.
Just you, Lord.
Right?
Just me, right?
80% didn't make out of the drawing either.
I know.
Only the roses among the thorns have to daven.
Because it's in the Shemona Esrei. We're asking every day when we read the Shemona Esrei, because I'm reading it, it's linear, so I really know what I'm reading. And I'm asking to get out of, you know, for the redemption of all of us. On top of it, I'm also asking in English another part, like after I finish the davening, or before I start the davening, I assume other people are asking. But we don't mean it. We mean it. I mean, I mean it.
We could only try to change ourselves. And every person has to look into their to themselves to see, are they davening properly? Are they davening enough? Are they davening with enough desperation? You know, if we were, God forbid, if someone was in a prison in Japan, and the only way to get out of that prison is if you speak to the judge. And they give you the formula to say, but it's in Japanese. Oh, sorry, I don't understand Japanese. All right, fine. I'll just say it in English, it's fine. Luckily, our judge understands English. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands English. But certainly, Tefillah and Lashon HaKodesh has a potency to it. Right? And now people, well, I don't understand. You know, I learned late, so I can't figure it out. How long would it take to learn Japanese if this is what we have to say? And that's the only way we're going to get out. So take a part of the Shemona Esrei, take one that talks about redemption, learn it in Lashon Kodesh, take one bracha, understand what it means. A lot of other silly things that we learn to do in life, we can learn how to do that too. So let's come to a conclusion here. I mean, this is a large part of the thrust of the Seder. Maybe we don't realize this, because once the Manishtana took too long because one of the kids started crying because they missed one word, or they didn't get the candy of their choice. So now already we're 2 hours into the Seder, and it's late, and the brisket is getting overcooked. So we get to all these psukim over here. Okay, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, my dear mother slept through most of these psukim. We woke her up at Rabbi Gamliel Omer. But she deserves it. She worked, you know, for 3-4 weeks straight. She deserves to have a break. You know, but us guys, you know, we were in yeshiva learning, so we had to say all of this. But what are we saying over here? You know what we're saying here? We're telling about the Exodus, right? And what are we saying? That the Mitzrayim made it hard for us. Vayanunu, and they oppressed us. Vayitnolein avay dekasha. And then, Vanitzak el Hashem leke aveseinu. We cried out to Hashem. Vayishma Hashem eskaleinu. Why is the Baal HaGadah putting this over? Because this is the lesson for the Seder. This is the lesson. This is the psukim in the Torah. This is not, right? This is not just commentary. This is the Torah talking. This is how they got out of Mitzrayim. And this is, we should really stop and focus on this. This is how they got out. Vanitzak Hashem leke, as it says. This is how it came. This is how it's going to happen in this galus also. So the only way we're going to get out of this galus is if we daven properly. We should call out in the loudspeakers, put it on the website, good. Do whatever we can, but we start with ourselves. We have to daven out of desperation. And this tefillah that's daven out of desperation, this is the connect that it has. And certainly in this month, and even more so on the night of the Seder, but I don't know anybody that uses a time the night of the Seder to daven, but perhaps one of the most powerful times to daven. It's an interesting thing we say in the Haggadah. After all of the tefillah, after all of the crying out and the calling out, Vayetzienu Hashem mi Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim biyad chazaka, with a strong hand. Vizrayin it to you with an outstretched arm. What does it mean, Vayetzienu Hashem Mitzrayim? Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? Maybe you know the song. Lo yayidei malach, v'lo yayidei sarav, v'lo yayidei shaliach, Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodei uve'atzmai. Hashem himself took us out of Mitzrayim. Very strange, ask many of the Rishonim, many of the commentators. It's funny, because we say in Devarim, we say, Vayishlach Hashem Malach, Hashem sent an angel, a messenger, to redeem us from Mitzrayim. So did Hashem deal with himself, or did Hashem send the messenger? So listen to a novel idea that the Sfasema says. How did we get out of the Golus of Mitzrayim finally? This we already saw. This we saw was clear. The end had come. The time had come. But the merits were not enough. And Hashem said, the only way is if you do something that allows me to listen and take you out. And that was Vatal Shavasim Alekim. That was our davening out of desperation. That was sincere davening to Hashem. And the truth is, even though it is begging Lashon HaKodesh, in any language that we speak, our Avinu Shabbat Shemayim will listen to us. If it's out of desperation, if it's out of a real tzara, then he'll listen to us. Hashem runs the world with messengers, with malachim, with intermediaries. And so too, when we daven to Hashem, it also goes through malachim. And sometimes we ask the malach, take this tefillah up to Hashem. But malachim are sometimes tough to get them to do what we want. Because when we daven, we say, take this tefillah to Hashem, Mr. Malach. And the Malach says, I don't know about you. You don't have too much gunpowder in your cannon to shoot this up to get maybe go to give it to Hashem. And I don't know how far I'll make it. On the night of Pesach, when it came to davening in Mitzrayim, you know what it means? Vayetzeinu Hashem, lo yayidei malach vayelo yeshiv lo yayetzeinu. The tefillah. Hashem says, I won't have to get the tefillahs from the malach or the saraf or the shliach. Bechvodei va'atzmei, Hashem says, I'll listen to your tefillah personally. That's how it means that he got out. The actual geula, the actual redemption, Hashem uses malachim too. But the tefillah here is how we did get out. That only was Hashem bechvodei va'atzmei. The tefillah that we will daven for the geula in the month of Nisan, leading up to Pesach and during the Yom Tov of Pesach, that tefillah will go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That tefillah, Hashem says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodei va'atzmei, He himself, will accept that tefillah. We know that the night of Pesach, this year, Monday evening, if you look at your calendar a few months ahead, the same night is when the night of Tisha B'Av falls out. Also a Monday night. That's one of the customs that we have. An egg on the Seder plate. We dip it in salt water to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash that we are lacking. Ironic how the night of the Seder is the same night that Tisha B'Av will be. Or will not be. Because Pesach is the time that we could daven for Mashiach to come. Pesach is the time we can daven in the entire month of Nisan, because this is the month where Hashem says, this is your opportunity to ask for redemption. The nation as a whole, they're not worthy to go out. But the plane is at the terminal. All you have to do is those that know to get on, have to get on. Those that know to daven, must daven. We have to increase our tefillah, whether it's in Eichus or Kamas, whether it's qualitatively or quantitatively, we must increase our tefillah. We must increase it and in sheer out of desperation. We're desperate for this Golus to end. All of the anti-Semitism, all of the threats are just the announcement of the stewardess on the plane to get on the plane. That's all it is. It's just reminders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's here, we're ready. It's all waiting for you. You just have to daven. And if we realize that if we daven now, then we'll avoid having a Leil Tisha B'Av, maybe that's an extra impetus for us to daven. That, perhaps, is a final lesson of the matzah. The matzah of the Seder. The matzah of the Seder remind us that how did they get out? What did they eat when they left Mitzrayim? The same bread that they ate in Mitzrayim, true, because there was periods of slavery, long, many years of slavery. 210 years of slavery. We're in this galus now way longer than that. We're in this galus almost 2,000 years. But when they went out, they also ate matzah. And the matzahs remind us that how did they get out? They got out because the matzah that they ate during slavery was Vatal Shavas Malakim. That matzah caused them to daven out of desperation. That matzah caused them to daven in a way that Hashem says, I myself will receive that tefillah. I myself will take that tefillah. You won't need any malachim to take that tefillah. So when we sit down preparing the matzah, we're preparing for Pesach, let us take our time. Whenever it is, if there's ever a time when we're not checking our email or talking on the cell phone, we're talking about not yom v'loy lailas, somehow in between no day and no night, when we're not doing one of those two things, then we should take the time to daven to Hashem. To say, l'shuascha kivisi Hashem, Hashem, for your salvation, I am longing, I am hoping. It's a very short pasuk. L'shuascha kivisi Hashem. Say it. Say it while you're shopping in the grocery. What's the matter? People are going to think you're talking to yourself? Nah, you're talking to your cell phone. Use the opportunity. When else are we going to do it? We have to use every moment that we have. Any time that we have. Women, Baruch Hashem, have a very special time, even though they don't have the availability, the opportunity to go to shul as often as men. But they have time when they light Shabbos candles. A wonderful opportunity. A wonderful opportunity. Okay, and at that time, even if there are a few kids pulling, all right, yeah, your husband hopefully is still home, he could take care of it. That's an opportunity to use that time. There's no better time. We should daven for ourselves and daven for all of Klal Yisrael, for this geula. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take tefillah out of sheer desperation. If we take the lessons from the matzah, we take some of these ideas of understanding, and Hashem wants us to eat the matzah because to understand, number one, that we went out of Mitzrayim not to be pure free men to do what we want to do, but free to do what Hashem wants us to do, because we're working then for ourselves and not for some taskmaster. And if we understand the lessons of the matzah of slavery and the matzah of freedoms to show us that the only reality is really what Hashem does, as the Chazon Ish writes, the Chazon Ish says, nothing we do can accomplish anything unless we find favor by Hashem. So therefore he says, our tefillahs could accomplish way more than any of effort or shtadlis that we do. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find favor in Hashem's eyes. And now too, Hashem says, the Kates is here. The time has come for this Golas to end. And it will end the same way the Golas of Mitzrayim ended. And the Golas of Mitzrayim ended was Vatal Shavasam El HaLekim Na'avayda. The tefillah of those who davened properly in Mitzrayim, that ended the Golas, that brought the Geula. And that's the matzah also that we eat on Pesach. That's the matzah of Geula. Hashem showed us that it's this matzah that can get you on that airplane. It's this matzah that could finally end the scholars. We should have the siyata d'shmaya to be able to daven properly and finally bring Mashiach. Mm-hmm.